And now, back to the ice with Hostler and Lawless.
We are back live at Winnipeg HQ of Sports Radio 1290, a Bell Media family member. Ooh, and it is very a very, there, very fun night tonight. If you missed Stephen Brunt, who broke the story today on the Globe and Mail, he was with us a little earlier today. You can get it at winnipegfreepress.com and theillegalcurve.com. But we are now joined by a very special guest, Kurt Kielbach, the voice, certainly for us. I'm not sure whether when you officially started, Kurt, but certainly for those of us in this room right now on the mics, you were the voice of Winnipeg Jets hockey. Absolutely. Welcome to the show, and tell us how you're feeling right now with the news that the Atlanta Thrashers seem to be moving to our fair city.
Well, it's great news. It's great news for everybody involved, certainly great news for the city of Winnipeg and for all the hockey fans around here who have suffered long and I guess needless hardship with the absence of the hockey club, and to know that we're going back into the National Hockey League is tremendous news, and I think everybody's pretty ecstatic about it. Did you say there's already people at Portage in Maine?
That's right. There's we already have reports of and pictures of people celebrating at Portage in Maine, and I think the bars tonight are getting an unexpected boost in alcohol sales of people wearing Jets jerseys.
There might be a few people late for work tomorrow, is what you tell me.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, absolutely. Kurt, do you think the Friars looking down and smiling tonight?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's nobody in the world that this would have meant more to than the late great Fryer, and he'd be a pretty happy camper right now, because there was nobody that supported hockey in every regard any more than he did, and it's a great day for Winnipeg, certainly. A Badger Bob Johnson would have said it's a great day for hockey, and certainly I think that's the case, because I guess what we've got now is what you're telling me is it's signed and sealed, just not delivered.
That's a great way of putting it. That's a good, exactly right. The final legalities may not have been completed, but for all intents and purposes, it is a done deal.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was at a golf tournament all day today, and I just left the golf tournament about 08 or 8:30, whatever it was, and I turned on your show, and you guys were on the air immediately, and that was the first time I had heard that it had gotten to this point about the Stephen Brunt article and the rest of it, although obviously there had been a lot of speculation, and I had been led to believe that it would be the Atlanta Thrashers, and the announcement would be next week. And now you're telling me that the announcement is going to be Tuesday?
That's right. That's what Stephen Brunt reported, and more or less it's been somewhat confirmed by other sources.
That may change very quickly, and not later than Tuesday.
That's right.
These dates are always flexible, aren't they? And it's interesting, too. And I know that, obviously, the True North people are in a situation where they can't say a whole lot, because it would really take the luster out of their announcement on Tuesday if they made it official now.
And, I mean, you wouldn't expect anything different from True North at this point in time.
They've played the cards close to the vest, and they've handled it with dignity, that's for sure.
Absolutely, exactly right.
Well, Kurt, when you did that, the last TV game against L.A. in April of 96, did you ever think we'd get back to this point?
You know, I always thought that the NHL would come back to Winnipeg, but like so many people back in the 90s, it was a real depressing time, and it didn't look good at that particular time, because I think the dollar was worth about 55 cents or 60 cents or something like that, and we certainly didn't have the kind of ownership that could handle that kind of financial beating, and the arena was old, so there were a lot of things that had to happen, and there was a belief in some quarters, certainly in where Gary Bettman was concerned, that the league was going to grow and be huge in the South, and I think that may have even been triggered by a 1980 article in the Sports Illustrated. Remember after Team USA won the gold medal, and they said hockey's the next big thing, it's going to be bigger than basketball, and a lot of people took that and believed in it. And, they began the move to the South, and it didn't take too long to realize, though, that certain southern cities could handle it, San Jose for one, but others couldn't. And it seemed to be, to me, if they have a choice, if American people have a choice, and in most of those major cities they do, they've got baseball, they've got the NFL, and they've got the NBA, and in that situation, they've also got college sports.
That's right.
The NHL winds up, in so many cases, as being about number five. A place like San Jose, where there's nobody else in town, they become number one. And, of course, in Canada, where hockey has always been number one, it was a natural. So I guess I've talked in a roundabout way, but I always thought that hockey would come back in an NHL vein to Winnipeg. but like everybody else, I had no idea as to when.
We now have a tweet coming up from a viewer or a listener that Peter Mansbridge has confirmed on CBC the news that it is a done deal. So the news media is weighing into it right now, Kurt, but we're sitting here on the precipice of NHL hockey returning to Winnipeg and speaking with the voice of the Jets.
That's right. Yeah.
The Oligarchs, does it get much better than this?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's like a prodigal son, I guess, took off and left and returned now, or went to war, or went overseas or something, and seemed to be lost, but has come home because, in many ways, I think to a lot of people, the Winnipeg Jets were part of the family, and now that particular member is returning, and it's a great time for all. It's like a family reunion.
Hey, Kurt, you know, it's Rack here.
Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm great.
Good.
Thank you.
I didn't want to put any pressure on you, but just want to let you know this might be considered your audition, sir.
Now you're making me nervous.
Well, there you go. You
yeah.
always work better under pressure.
Yeah. Well, I've obviously been keenly aware that it's going to be a battle between several radio stations to secure the rights to broadcast the games, and I'd certainly like to be a part of it. So thank you for that suggestion.
You know, Kurt, you went with the team to Phoenix, you know, back in the mid-90s, and you were there for a couple of years, and you did your thing. Is there any chance of NHL hockey? I know we're celebrating today, and we're celebrating the Atlanta Thrashers. You know, you were there firsthand when the Coyotes should have been at their most exciting level. Is there a chance that NHL hockey can work in the desert?
You know, they did so many things right, and they did so many things wrong, and they just couldn't seem to get it all together. Thinking back to the early days in Phoenix, we went down there, and they had two general managers. They had three assistant general managers, because it was a collection of different factions that had got together. John Paddock had come from Winnipeg to be a general manager. The owner was a friend of Bobby Smith's, and he was a general manager, and they had a hard time making deals with a hockey club because other general managers, if they wanted to make a trade for a Shane Doan or whoever, they didn't know who to call. And so they eventually worked things out, and then people got out, and the staff was very good at that time. Once they decided that there shouldn't be a factional war between the Colorado people and the Winnipeg people and the Phoenix people, they got together and they got everything down, streamlined, and it did for a while look good. But they had a facility there that was made for basketball. Eventually they moved on. They made a lot of changes, and some of the changes were good and some of them were very bad. And in retrospect, I think it could have worked had the right people stayed in the right place at the right time. But as it turned out, they made a lot of bad decisions and it just deteriorated. So to answer your question now, I mean, it's going to take a lot of work for anybody to make it function properly down there. But in the short term, no, it does not look good.
Kurt Kielbach, it is a, needless to say, you can probably tell how much fun we're having on the air tonight. Yeah. Just the vibe in the room right now, the vibe in the city. As the guy that we grew up listening to, did you ever think that when the team left, we'd be sitting here maybe on a quiet, maybe not so quiet, Thursday night with a bunch of young, fired-up hockey fans heading down to Portage in Maine saying the NHL's returning to Winnipeg?
You know, one of my favorite stories, I've told it before, but I remember the final game that the Winnipeg Jets played, and after the game, it was about a half hour after the game, and I walked into the bowl of the Winnipeg Arena and took a look around, and there were, oh, I don't know, maybe 700-800 people still in the arena. And every single one of them had tears in their eyes and were just staring into space. They're staring down at the ice. Nobody speaking. And the oddity about it, as I looked around, I realized almost every one of them was a teenage boy. Now, those guys who were 14, 15 years old, they're now 30 years old. They're thinking back. I mean, they've recaptured something that they thought they'd lost. Okay. And they were all in a situation where they had not lost a family member before, for the most part. And they didn't know how to attend to the grief. But now suddenly this is back. So I feel more for them than I feel for anybody else. I mean, the old guard is really glad to have the team back. And, you know, they do their different things. But the people who grew up, and maybe from the time they were 5, 6 years old, remember hearing about the Jets, and then suddenly they were gone. It was a huge loss, and now they're back. And it's—I just can't help but think back to that particular night.
Kurt, we're getting a lot of action on our Twitter page and on our Blackberries and on our BBMs, and what they want to hear from you is just one final call, maybe a great save essence, something along those
essence
lines.
Essence of the save, come on, what else could be?
Do you think he's going to make a comeback?
Nothing would surprise me after tonight.
After tonight, yeah.
How about Pavlik, the save?
Yeah, exactly.
I know what you're saying. They were just some great times, some great memories. And the thing is, it's going to all begin anew, and that's fantastic. When you think back to the things we can remember, and to know that the future generation, and in fact ourselves, are going to get to experience it all over again. It's a great day for Winnipeg. Great save, Essenza!
There we go. We got Dancing Gabe imitating The Rock on the show. And now we got Kurt Kielbeck dropping the essence of the save. Kurt, thank you very much for joining us on the H&L Illegal Curve 1290 Sports.
Well, I was wondering when you were going to have me on. I appreciate that.
Well, it was about damn time.
It was fortuitous timing. I just emailed you earlier this morning to get you on for Saturday, so we moved it up a couple days.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I replied to that email.
I just got it.
These guys work fast. Kurt, have a great one. We'll speak with you very soon, and enjoy your evening.
Okay. Well, keep up the good work. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks, Kurt, very much. That was pretty much in these parts, that was the voice
of
the Winnipeg Jets.
Absolutely.
Let's get a little more synth going. Jump. You sick of this song yet? I doubt it. We're going to take a break and we'll come back. Why don't you light these phones up, Winnipeg, 780-1290. Let's do this.